Like I say, good morning to everyone. We're very thankful today that God has allowed us to see another beautiful day. And God has been good to us, not just summertime, but God is good to us all of the time. If you're on the call this morning, not a member of the Church of Christ or member of Hollow Heights Congregation as well, we want to welcome everyone to our call. And to those who are visiting with us, we pray that you obey the gospel before it's everlasting and eternally too late. We believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. That Jesus did hang on that cross and between the two thieves without ever seeing that with our eyes because of this book tells us. When they buried and be resurrected on the third day, that Sunday, he gave the command of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the good news of suffering Savior on the cross and God's love for mankind. If a person believes that with all their heart, repent of their sins, confess him to be the Son of God. And that person must be baptized and commanded by the Lord. And the Lord then would add up to the only church you read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. Now, we don't apologize for that. We just believe that the Bible is right. We must speak what the Bible speaks. Remain silent when the Bible is silent. Now, this morning, continuing our study of the book of Hebrews, as a matter of fact, we'll be completing the book of Hebrews today. This afternoon service will be the last lesson. And we have discussed going to the next lesson study. Brother Stroud has recommended the book of Philippians, which I think is a great recommendation because of the things that we're going through in the world. And yet Paul being in a dark dungeon wrote a letter with the word joy used in it more than anywhere else in the whole Bible. It was one of the most dark, difficult times of his life, and I think that's an appropriate study that for us to go to. So be reading the book of Philippians. We'll pick that up on next week if it be the Lord's will. This morning, brotherly love. What a powerful thought. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13 is where we are. Now, the Hebrew writer has been dealing with some very difficult things in the past few chapters. We have to look at the Lord and how God chastens and chastens those of us, or discipline those of us who are disobedient. Discipline his children. And the Hebrew writer was telling us, you know, many have fallen away, some left the faith, some were going to die in their sins. But he come back and he encouraged everyone to read after looking at the faith of those around them, that they would hold to God and not give up. Some turned back. And hopefully you haven't been one of those. But now, as he closed out the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew Christians had been warned. Now he's dealing with love. I think that's a great way to close this chapter. He said, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Verse 1, he says that. And so I just titled the sermon, Brotherly Love. Now, brotherly love, brothers and sisters, is the love that's extended to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Boy, I just want to compliment Hollow Heights. We had probably one of our largest contributions last week that we've seen pre-pandemic. And I don't say that because of money. I'm just saying that the members of Hollow Heights that love each other and love our congregation, you have been faithful through this very difficult time where others was criticized and maybe some was negative and some was thinking other things. We've seen the positive side of the pandemic, and that is many of our brothers and sisters who were not worshiping or attending services have been able to join the call. And it's my prayer that these people that were not coming to the building or not able to come to the building or got in a sense in a slump and fallen. But God has allowed you to be revived through the conference bridge. And that's a good thing, because if we love each other, like God say, love each other, then we all will love each and every brother and sister in Christ. That's brotherly love, is kindness and love for one another. And we heard just on Wednesday night from one of our sisters who went by 5 minutes talking about people that had blessed her and the love that had been shown We hear that in our prayer responses, prayer requests. Our people among our congregation are just thanking others for loving them and helping them and being there for them. And that's what brother love is all about. And so we are thankful that those of you who were not coming to service have been joining our call. Now, we are encouraging you now. When there is not a providential hindrance, that this conference bridge will no longer be something you should rely on, because we are to assemble, and the reason we're not assembling is related to the providential hindrance and health risk. It was the leadership decision because we were at risk. No one has died because of COVID in our congregation, and I'm going to keep ringing that bell. So I think we made the right decision. Now, when we get ready to the building ready, you should be in the mindset of coming back to the building unless your health is at risk or you're providentially hindered, bedridden, sick, and shut in. But the blessing of this, I see, is that before the pandemic, we were not able to extend the brotherly love of the conference to our sick and shut in. But now, we can continue to bless them. And we hadn't went through this, we wouldn't even been doing this. So I'm just thankful that we can provide to our faithful members who can't get out of that bed and in wheelchairs, and they can still hear the word of God being preached by their minister. They'll be able to see me live stream if they understand the internet. They can use that. We'll be live streaming. We'll be doing all this. The conference is just a phone call. That's what makes this so successful, because it's so simple. And the reason I'm plugging this right now is because of the word love, brotherly love. We have to do what we have to do. And we should love each other. I love my children, my wife, and kids, and I'm going to do everything I can to protect them when they're in my home, under my care. And as your minister, that's what I've done. Now, I'll take criticism what comes with it. But as the leader, the spiritual leader, along with Brother Stroud, we extended love and care and protection in our decision. And so, along with the other brethren who have supported us. And this other thing I want to plug here in the offset here is that the brothers among us that have been supportive, our trustees have done a great job of being supportive and working together. We've dealt with some difficult things, but that comes with being in the leadership. I mean, I believe leadership in everybody, myself personally, but others may not believe that. Now, I take the role as a minister, as evangelist. I take that however a person want to think of it. But I'm just a brother in Christ. That's who I am. I'm a brother in Christ. You're a sister in Christ. And all the brothers on the call who have been participating in the services, our young brothers, brothers who are doing prayers, leadership roles, and going to the building, helping out up there. I think of people like Brother Pete who go up there and just work. And you don't see that kind of stuff. And we appreciate that, because that's an extension of a family. We are a family, y'all. And sometimes, you know our song, right? Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. There are times when we would dream together how it's going to be when we all get to heaven as God's family. So hats off to Holla Heights. We've hopefully coming to an end soon of not being able to touch and feel, to be close as we would love to be. I told someone jokingly that I'm a preach and go out the side though, because y'all ain't gonna be hugging me as long as this COVID is in place. Some of you probably laugh now, but I'm serious. I'll wave at y'all. But as long as the COVID is active, you don't have to worry about Brother Brooks. I'm going to put my mask on right out and get through preaching. And out the door I go. I wave at you on the way out. But it is, it's a time where you have to do those kind of things. Just continue to thank God we've been COVID-free so far. I have been, so I'm thankful that for that and going to continue to be as safe as I can. Now, I lead us into that thought because I don't want anyone on the call getting so comfortable with the conference that you forget that assembling is a command. It's a command, y'all. And we are to come together as long as we don't have no risk to our lives. And so that's where you draw the line. You know, if there's black ice on the road and the weather forecast to tell us, hey, it's dangerous to drive to Bill, I would not tell anyone to drive and take a chance of killing themselves or someone else. That's just the way we have to make those type of decisions. So this love that we extend to each other is by reason of a common relationship, you all, as the family of God. And I know we all understand this because we have a love for each other. We miss each other. You know? So that's what the Hebrew writer is talking about. But John said in 1 John chapter 4, there is something we have to know about this love. He said, if a man say, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, that means love him less than God do, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he had seen, how can he love God whom he had not seen? This is very clear. And this commandment we have we from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. This is really important. You got to check yourself now. Because there are some people that gets on your nerves, or maybe you avoid them, or you overlook them, or just they kind of upset your stomach when you see them. They wrong you so bad. You feel, how do you love somebody like that? The same way God loves you when you wrong him. Every time you sin, we wrong God. Do y'all know that? And so if your answer is yes, then you say, this sister, this brother, I can't do them. That's what we say. Some people say, I just can't do them. Well, you can't go to heaven. What do you mean you can't do them? The problem is you have a serious issue here that could cause you to lose your soul. So what is the problem? What is the answer to this problem? You got to learn to love God for loving you, for forgiving you for wronging him. And all your wrong is spelled with one word, and that's S-I-N. And that'll help you. If you can get to the point where you understand that your love for God must be based on the forgiveness and the abundance of forgiveness that God has given to you, and how he gave his son to die, to harbor death on the cross, is no one is acceptable God for us to hate, not even an enemy. Because Jesus died for the same person. I mean, I can honestly say it's no one that I hate. It hurts me to know that someone is upsetting me to the point they don't want to speak. That hurts. That hurts. Can you honestly say there's no one you hate? I can. No, I don't hate them. So we have these things to consider because of our salvation. And that's what the Hebrew writer says. So after you learn to love God, then brotherly love will continue. You can never come to a point where you couldn't love anyone. Not anybody you could not love. And that's a serious lesson here that we're talking about. And even some people, they're family members. They're so upset over something that went wrong in the home, went wrong in the marriage, went wrong in the family, went wrong with the children. They have separated themselves from their own children. That's an indication that you don't love them like you're supposed to love them. And that's a very serious concern. But John simply said that if you don't love your brother. If you hated your brother, I mean, you love him less than God do. I mean, God went above and beyond. So must you. Let me encourage you to repent for somebody you don't love. Repent, start back to speaking to them. It's not up to them. It's not up to you to cause anyone to speak back to you or to love you back. It's your responsibility to love, regardless of what has happened in your life. So I think that's a worthy speech to give to everyone. And I check myself. And you should check yourself. And you those pictures will pop up in your mind, a person that you really look at and you think, that person really, really, someone that's hard to love, you say. Well, then the picture that pops up in God's mind is you. But he don't say it's hard to love you. He said, I love you. I commended my love toward you that while you were doing me wrong, while you were yet sinner, my son died for you. That's in the book of Romans. Remember that. In verse 2 of Hebrews 13, he said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, but thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Still dealing with relationships, strangers. In Genesis 18, that entertain means show hospitality to strangers. You never know who you're entertaining. It may be an angel, as happened in Genesis 18. But we're to show hospitality to others, even strangers, with brotherly love. He said, it's about relationships. What do you remember now? Every one of us are living a life that represents the life of Christ. And one of the things we're going to be talking about in the book of Philippians, you know, the Christ is it's a lot about being like Christ. Let this mind be used in Christ Jesus. The people who spit in his face, he was still able to love them and ask for forgiveness. So he writes that, be careful how you treat people and be not forgetful. Did you be so hot that you entertain strangers? Because you don't even know it may be an angel you're dealing with. Let's go to Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 briefly. Listen to what he said. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 36. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we and hunger thee and hunger and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink. They asked him, when we saw you? And he said, I was in prison. And so they said, what do you mean you were in prison? He said, then they go back and say, when we saw thee, a stranger. That word is again. When were you a stranger? Took thee in and naked and clothed thee. Or when saw we thee sick and or in prison and came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, and much as you have done it to one at least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Jesus, speaking of brothers in prison, serving God, these are not criminals he was talking about doing, committing crimes. These are brothers and sisters who was incarcerated because of the cause of Christ. He says, and Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto who? All men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially. See, we're in that especially category. When you become a member of the church, you're special. And Paul is saying, especially. There's an especial group. Those who are members of the Lord's church, brothers and sisters in Christ, he said, you don't do good to all men, but there's a group that you especially do good to. Those are the members of the church. Those are the household of faith. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 25, pick up in verse 41, and listen to the master here. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, in prison, and you visit me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee hunger, thirst, stranger, naked, sick, prison, and did not minister unto thee? They're concerned because he just said, you're going to lose your soul over this. And he said, yeah, I said, brother, I say unto you, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. See, God don't consider anyone who can't love someone else righteous. Are you able to love your brothers and sisters? Especially. Are you able to love your enemies? He said, one of you do like that. That's serious. That's something we can evaluate. Because I've been in church a long time. I know how some of us are. Somebody rub us wrong, that's it. It's done. Nothing else to do with you. It's over. Let's form hatred. So, this lesson is real important. You may not think it is, but boy, there are going to be some people going to lose their soul. He just said it. Jesus is like, you did it to one of them. And they're talking about these were Christians, even brothers and sisters who was in need of the support of others. Verse 3, go back to Hebrews now. Remember them that are in bonds. These are people that was in prison and bound with them. And those who were with them in prison, a lot of them were in prison together. And them which suffer adversity. And being yourselves also in the body. So what he's saying, what he's basically saying here, is that you consider, when you start thinking about how you treat other people, and he said, these people are in prison, these people are bound with chains, there are people in there with them. And the Hebrew writer said, you think about it, that's you. That's what he means by what he said, being yourselves also in the body. How would it feel to know that a brother or sister wouldn't check on you? And these are not criminals. These people who were suffering because they were Christians. It's important to know that brother love motivates us, how nice to suffer together, considering ourselves, considering how I would want somebody to treat me when I'm sick and shit, you know, when I'm hurting, you know. We got people that take people food and help a body at home. We heard that Wednesday night. I think of Sister Willie Sales, who takes to the seniors food on Sundays, and some of those, and others don't. Some you don't, and nobody asks to call names. Some, we don't know who's doing what, but I can tell you this. From the time I've been at this congregation, there are people that do things for other people that they don't. They don't want to be known. They don't care what you call their name. That's not what they do. They do it because they love their brother. And they love their congregation. And there have been times when we were in bonds. We was at times. I was just telling a gentleman yesterday. There were times when we was at a point almost losing our building. And Hot Lights, and within a month, raised all the money. And we did it because we love each other and we love our family. And I know this, if I come to this congregation for anything that's going to relate to us, we're going to come together and do it together with the help of God. It's just no doubt in my mind. There's a love for each other there that others can't penetrate. The devil's not going to win when it comes to our family. He's not going to win. So we're not going to get locked up down in the jailhouse down in Harris County because we worship Christ. We're Christian. That's not going to happen to us, not in America right now, at least. You don't know what's going to change. Things changing around this world, but we don't know. There's some crazy stuff going on in America right now, in my mind, but it's all related to sin. If you just get down to it, it's all related to sin. So, brotherly love keeps us helping those who are bound by some type of imprisonment, whether they be sick or whether they're going down or whether they're struggling, whether they're dealing with financial issues or whether they're dealing with problems in their lives. We are to be there for each other. Why? It's called brotherly love. Verse 4, marriage is honorable and all, and bear undefiled, but the whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. It's pretty straightforward. Marriage between... And it's sad that you got to say this today, but you've got to see it. Because unfortunately, we are They're trying to push down the throat, our throat, that everyone, male to male, that's, it's okay for men to marry men. It's okay for women to wear women, marry women. But all that's an abomination. Now, if you're on this call and you say, I have rights as a lesbian or I'm gay, and you say these things and it's okay with God, make sure, as you know, Brother Brooks didn't agree with you. I don't agree with you because God doesn't agree with you. I don't agree. I don't care what president says is okay or what Supreme Court. The Supreme Court of Heaven has already ruled on this matter. That marriage is between men and women. They don't even want, now you hear on TV, they trying to get the children the right to identify their own gender without their parents' involvement. That's sad. I wasn't born a girl. I wasn't born a boy. And the child gets to make that decision at a young age and change their gender. We're in a difficult time, a very sad time, and we must preach boldly against this stuff. It's all over our TV. You see men kissing men on TV. And they promote HIV medication. Continue doing with this wrong, even if you got AIDS. We got a medicine that'll keep it so low that you can go ahead with your sexual activities as a homosexual because it's okay in America. It's not okay in the outside of God. Brother Brooks seemed like you're very, this is serious. Look what our children, you better be watching what your children are seeing on TV and explaining to them that's not okay. You see that one black man kissing another black man, they both got beards on this commercial for some type of HIV medication. Y'all seeing it? Everywhere they can plug it in now, they're plugging in gay marriage and gay acceptances. No. No. It's not okay. Here's what Jesus said. In Matthew 19:4, he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, what? Made them male and female. Those are gender specifics. Who going to change that? The Creator said it. And said, for this cause a man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. They twain shall be one flesh. And here he comes with a direct command. Wherefore they that are no more twain but one flesh, wherefore therefore, what God joined together, let no man put asunder. What are you saying, Jesus? God put male and female, not male and male. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. No, he didn't do that. And I'm going to be the first one that'll stand up and I'll preach against it, and I'm not gonna apologize to anyone for it. Because everybody that's going along with this stuff, be careful who you're voting for too. By the way, you're endorsing some of this stuff. I'm telling you, some of you Christians, be careful about what you put your name on. But remember, some of these people, this is the way they believe. I'm not endorsing any of them. I don't believe like that. I'm not gonna be a part of it. I'm going to be one who's going to stand, and I take what comes with the stand. It's sad that you even have to say this today, but this is getting worse and worse and worse. Not going to get any better. So what's honorable? Marriage. And then the other thing we have to think about, this common law thing, but people just living together and feeling like that's marriage in the eyesight of God. Marriage is a vow. It's a vow. Between a man and a woman. So the Hebrew writer said, marriage is honorable. That's respect. God respects marriage. It's honorable for a man to marry to a woman. For a woman to be married to a man. The bed is undefiled. But if you're sleeping together and you're not married, that's a defiled bed. So this is to the shackles on the call. Those who are living together, you're laying up there together right now. You're not married. You know, old saying back in the country where I grew up, you know, to some of the sisters, the man, they would say, well, why buy the cow? The milk's free. You know what that means? That was something ain't going to lay up on you. You pay the light bill. You paying the car note. You, and he laying up in there with you, sucking up your air. eating up your food and not working. And I don't represent all guys, but there's some doing it. Why? That's the way they believe. But you know, why am I saying these things? Do I dislike people who are gay or been led to believe they was born that way? No. Did I dislike bisexual, homosexual? No. They are souls. It's no more wrong to be a homosexual than it is to be a liar. They both gonna lose their souls. So don't feel like I'm picking on you, because if everybody got a sin and that's one of your sins, you just need to repent and stop doing it. If you're not married, y'all need to be discussing marriage. That's what you need to do. And so when two people are in the church, you should be considering marriage to a brother or sister in the church. Why? Wow, brotherly love. First of all, y'all love soul, the soul of the person. The soul. So trying to get it right with God is working on anything in your life that is a sinful matter. Is it whoremongering? You're just chasing women everywhere. That's not good. Adultery is wrong. All that. Shacking, adultery, fornication without being married. All sin. What did it add up to, Brother Brooks? Sin? Sin. What God sees is a man and woman in the bed that are married. That's the only thing that's honorable to him. But he said the end result is judge. God would judge in the end. Said, Brother Brooks, I know I've committed adultery. Am I in worse shape than you? You ain't no worse shape than the person who is gossiping and backbiting and whispering. Huh? What'd you just say? I just said it. What is your sin that's going to cause you to lose your soul? That's the one you got to change. And you know, we don't look down on other people because they have an issue with their gender identity. They may have an issue, but you can't biblically say that you're right. You got to stay with what the Bible says. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, wives, submit to yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, a sister in Christ, this is your as a wife. That's what God says. You are to submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, what are you doing under the Lord? You submit to the Lord because he saves your soul. You submit to your husband because he's there to save you as well. He's supposed to love you to save you. I always tell people, if the enemy come to the door and the thief come to my door, we're going to let him in there to get the Sharon or my children. I'm going to take the bullet. Why? She's under my care. She's under my submission. Now, some of you women see the word submit as bad. It's a bad word. Well, then you got to see submission to God as a bad word then. That's not submitting to somebody who's going to beat you in the head. Now, I'm not talking about that type of a rule because he gives up. But if you're one of them women on this call, you just talk back to your husband, you just unsubmit, don't want to do nothing that he acts, you're just going to bow up against him. The problem probably is that when you married somebody you didn't love. And that's the problem with just jumping into marriage. So I can say this to the young people. You be careful by just marrying somebody. You need to know who you married. I ain't saying you got to live with Shaq with them to get to know them, but you all know them well enough to know they love you. Amen, Walt. But that woman ain't going to submit to you. That man is not going to care for you. That's what the Bible says, Hebrews 5:23. The husband is the head of the wife. Well, that woman got a problem with head. Who's your head? Well, the Bible says your husband is. Even as Christ. Now he said, here's how. Here's how I mean it. Paul said, just like Christ is the head of the church. There will be no church like Christ. There will be no head. There will be no church if the head went on it. The head is in control. So who's the head of the home? Who's the head of the wife? It's the man. That's the husband. That's God's order. And you may be one of those sisters, I just can't do it. Well, you can't. You won't be going to heaven. You need to repent, sis. That's what you need to do. You need to repent. There's a submission and demand at the head, and you can't change that in the Bible. Because that's exactly what God said. Now, I know you're going to come with all these hypotheticals. But what if he don't do this? Or what if he don't do that? Well, the only time it's a problem is when that man is going against the will of God himself. You never have to submit to a man when it comes to giving your soul up. That's where you draw the line. There's your answer to whatever hypothetical you're going to give me. Well, you don't know how he talked to me. You don't know what he do in the house. I don't know. You don't know. I don't know. God know, though. And so that's a sting to him. He trying to make, and that's the problem. We're going to see that here in a minute. He come back and give the man. You don't have to worry about it. God's going to come back and tell him the same thing. As the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be their own husband and everything. As they say back in East Texas, and everything. And everything. Not some things that you run off and just do what you want to do without submitting to your husband. You know, do y'all know that in a marriage you all have mutual agreements on things? So one got one bank account, the other one got his bank account, and you spend your money on you and I spend my money on me. What is that? We become one flesh. I would never counsel. If I was premarital counsel anyone who have two banking accounts, I would say y'all never should not get married yet because you're not ready to join together. And you know the people that'll do that kind of thing? Well, you pay the light bills out of your check, and I'll pay my car note out of mine. But we're going to sleep in the same house. Why? For the purpose of satisfying your sexual desire? Because you're sure I'm going to love each other enough. Amen. I wish I could see y'all face now, because there'll probably be some quiet folk in the town. There'll probably be some quiet folk in these houses. That's a good thing about this pandemic, too. I got some of you looking at each other, right at each other in your own house. Ain't nobody else looking but y'all. Y'all, you over there shaking your head to him or her. Yeah, you're doing it. And guess who know them children? Them children know. You know when daddy don't love mama, mama don't love daddy. You know when y'all sleeping in different rooms, ain't talking to each other. You think we're an example that's setting for them. Know your husband, love your wife. Verse 25. How you want me to love him, Lord? Even as Christ also loved the church. And then what did he do? Gave himself for it. So every man on this college, and you had your chest bowed out a while ago when I was talking about the woman submitting to you. But you ought to be willing to die for that woman. Do you understand that, brother? You suck your check back in now, because if you hitting on your wife, or you beating on her, or you cussing at her every time she turn around, that's not how Christ loved you. And you got some men that would do that. They rule with an iron fist. Slap a woman. I've never touched my wife in my heat. Never. And I say it's a sad day when a man will hit a woman. And then some men will verbally abuse their wives. Yeah, I'm talking to you, the brother who will verbally abuse his wife, threatening her, talking down to her, not showing love her, showing differential between her and others, and not caring for her. What do you do for your wife, brother? I'm coming back to brother love, but since I'm on these, I'm going to hit it hard because there's some people in the church doing this stuff. If you verbally abuse your wife, you need to repent, ask her to forgive you. That's what you got to do, bro. I don't understand how a Christian can call him or herself a Christian and use profanity. Use profanity in the presence of your wife or children. I'm talking about profanity. I'm talking about words that I would never want to come out of my mouth. You see the world talk like that. And here you are, call yourself a Christian, brother. Want your wife talk pushing submission. And you cussing at her. You think God going to be pleased with that? I know you know better. What has all this got to do with brotherly love? Here's why. If that sister is a member of the church, that's your sister before she's your wife. I hope you heard what I just said. That's your sister. She belongs to God before she belongs to you. That's your brother, sister. He belonged to God before he belonged to you. What are you preaching this morning, Brother Brooks? Brotherly love. Marriage, purpose of it. What God don't love is sinful stuff. Whoremongering and adultery, that type of stuff. Fornication, that marriage. Yeah. You can't get around it. The Bible said to a boy fornicator, let every man have his own wife. That's what he said, do. You say, well, bro, I just got this desire to take care of you. Yeah, I understand. Enough that I understand. But here's what the apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, I'm glad he didn't stop with that verse. Be in trouble with me, brother. He said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. I thank God for nevertheless. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. He specified very clearly what gender and how you deal with sexual desires, which is God-given for the purpose of procreation. That's why when you get older, those desires go away because it was designed. And that's why when you, and I'll say this to some of the marriage we made, you say that, somebody said something about the, you know, the fire down in the chimney or something white on the top on someone. I forget how it's said. But anyway, they said, I'm old and I still got some fire in. Well, you know, yeah. Yeah, okay. But here's the deal. The reason why love was so good when you were young, because God gave the desire to the man to have a wife so they could have a baby. That's what happened in your younger years. You had that strong desire. Because it was a God-given by nature. That's how we, same thing happened to animals. That's how you had little babies, little cows and little horses. We the same way. He gave us those desires to have little ones. And the older you get, the less you have because you can't bring no more babies in the house. Because that's what designed for it. You can love each other whether you're doing that or not. That's the point of the lesson. The point of the lesson is you can love one another without that. Because that's your brother and sister in Christ. Brother, love continue. Let's go back to Hebrew. I'm sure you wise love. I'm glad I'm off of this one. Yeah, that's a tough thing. And verse 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Hebrew writer is still talking about brother love, but he's talking about that in conversation. Brother love brings conversation that is not covetous, a conversation of one who is always wanting more from you personally or whatever. No, brother love is expressed in a conversation that shows one is content with what he or she has. You don't have to give me more to make me love you more. Well, you put $100 in my account, I love you more for that. Well, no, I'm sure you would. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about conversation. Be without covetousness. That's what we're talking about right here. You don't need to be with covetousness. You don't need more desires, more stuff. That don't grow. And that's why, let me just say this to you, too. You can't pay for love. I buy her everything. Money ain't gonna buy love, bro. You put the rings on her finger and everything else on her. You put her in the finest car. You put her in the biggest home. Yeah, but that don't buy. You can't buy that love, bro. You can't buy him love, sis. It's probably more the men trying to buy love than women, but it don't work. Love must be from the heart. Now, here's the way, it's the way you talk to your wife. The way you talk to someone has a lot to do with expression of love. So you say, why you have a problem with me? Because of the way you talk to me. I mean, you're not gentle, you're not kind. I always got to give more. You know, there's something I do in premarital counseling called the giver and the taker. You know, some people are just big takers. All they want is more. You have to have a balance in marriage. You have to have a balance in relationships. There's givers and takers. You have to give, and you have to be given too. So it's a reciprocal, meaning it goes back and forth. That's what we're talking about. You can't fall so in love with your husband's income that's your love. Your love for him is his income. You can't stand it no other way. Let's come to this. And so he just generalizes and there said, your conversation, let conversations when it comes to each other, a brotherly love, be without covetousness, not something that you have to continue it. I hope this is resonating. Maybe I should just go a little slow here because this is important for us to know. Paul says in Ephesians 5:3, but fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. That's how serious that is, as becoming saints. Colossians 3:5, he said, mortify, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So what do you love about someone, about your husband, about your wife? What do you love about them? What we're saying is that he said it comes out in conversation. There's something called caring, you know. You say, what do you mean, brother? Well, you know, if I care about you, then I'm careful how I talk to you. You know, care love is an example of this. Like, if a baby falls on the floor, what you do, you rush to pick them up and comfort them from their fall. And you say, oh, sorry, baby, you'll be okay. Everything else. See, it's a certain way care love is expressed through conversation. And if it's always one-sided, you always the right one. There's something wrong with that. That's a form of confidence. You know, I got to have it all my way. In relationships, whether it's a church relationship, family relationship, there are two sides to every story. And you should be willing to hear the other side. What I practice is not interrupting someone. I practice that. I say, are you finished? Oh, and people that know me will know that. I'll sit there and listen. Even though something they saying I don't agree with, I'll let them finish before I interrupt because the conversation is important. It may be one thing they say, so I see why you say that now. So are you in relationships and friendships and relationships, married, brothers, sisters, family members, whatever it is, that each of you talking at the same time? Both of you running your mouth, lifting your voices at each other. Nobody's understanding what the other person is saying. Brother, love means I give ear. It may be something they're trying to express to me that I missed. And because I love her, I love him, I love my children, I need to hear them. Let brother love continue. Brother love brings conversation. It's not covetous. Conversation of one who's always wanting more, or more selfish, really, is that it's got to be, I'm right, you wrong, I'm right, you wrong. No one wants to, I'm right, you wrong all the time conversation. Nobody's right every time. No one is right all the time. Brotherly love is expressed in a conversation that shows one is content with what he or she has. The reason for being content is motivated by the fact that he had said, here's what God said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that conversation? Yes, it is. And do we want God to be, can you hear love in that? Can you hear someone who gives in that? That's a direct statement from God. I will never leave or forsake you. Then he says, so that we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper. You say boldly, Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do to me. Why? And I believe the conversation, that was a conversation from God that is built on love. All right. Here's brotherly love. He said, remember them which I rule over you. This rule means leader. We have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. I'm in verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Consider the end of their conversation. Now, actually, this verse here is about your ministry, your brother Brooks, Brother Stroud. Now, we have leadership. That rule right there is not ruling like a dictator. You know, and one thing we probably need to do when we go back to the church is go back over serving leadership, so all of us understand that the church belongs to Christ. It don't belong to Brooks. It don't belong none to ministry leads. It don't belong to Brother Stroud. No, the church belongs to the Lord, but He do give a leadership role. He gives those of us who lead. And so this rule here means lead. So what is he telling us? I simplify it for you. Brother Brooks is your brother. And I got the weight of the congregation in your soul in my care. And he says, who have spoken unto you the word of God, is exactly what I'm doing this morning. And that's what Brother Stroud would do when he's preaching the word of God. I'm preaching the word of God. We're speaking the word of God. Then he says, whose faith follow. Then he says, and I said, as long as I'm doing it according to the scripture, you can follow it. But if I leave the scripture, you don't follow me. I'm just a man. But as long as I'm doing it, God put me in another category. He said, you remember him because he's your leader. You follow his faith. Consider the end of his conversation, of their conversation. And I think that's pretty clear. I'll be living a life that you can follow. First of all, I'll be living a life that you can follow. And you should call us on it when we don't. Because you do not have to follow nobody who don't follow the Lord. Now, you got to understand, you don't have nobody in no pulpit across this city, across this world, that's a perfect man. He's not up there. You won't find him. He's not there. But if we follow just like you, if I follow the scriptures like you, then you can follow me. When you lead the scriptures, I ain't going with you. When I lead the scriptures, you don't go with me. But you remember to love us. You know, well, Brother Brooks, I don't want to talk to you about nothing because you intimidate me. Well, then you're going to leave me in sin? If I'm intimidating, tell me I intimidate you. Don't leave me in sin. You know, Brother Brooks wrong for what he did. Well, didn't you tell me that? Why are you telling everybody else? And I know there's some people on this call who've done stuff like that. Run and tell somebody else what you don't like about what I did. You come to me. And if I'm wrong, I need to change it. Don't leave me lost. Well, if you do, you don't love me anyway. That's the problem. You squirming in your seat now because you've been one of those people I'm talking about. Well, I hope you squirm. because you should come to me. Because my soul is as important as your soul is. We don't keep squirming. You know, talk about nobody behind their back. That's backbiting. And the preacher is the one that stands from the whole group. He's the easy target. But that ain't what God is saying, do. Why? What do you say? That's your brother Brooks. Brooks and brother Brooks, your brother. Now, boy, here's one thing. I go the other way with it too. There's some members of the church. I know you. You've been through some sticking thin stuff with brother Brooks. Yeah. But every congregation can say that too, probably. Because every congregation is made up of people that obey God. They're trying to live a sinful life. And then they come into the church. Church isn't but a hospital of sick people. Sin sickness. From the preacher to the manager. All of them sick. Everybody got a sin sickness. That's why Jesus came as a great physician. You expect Brother Brooks to be a perfect man and standing poor. You need to go keep looking then. Girl, I'm not your man. But you ain't going to find it. Church hoppers. You're not going to find that. He can't find a perfect man. He's not there. He's not going to be one. Nobody man. But here's the Bible tell this. There's something called honor. Romans 13:7. Render therefore to all that do, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. The Bible also in Hebrews 13, I'll jump ahead, verse 17, obey them how rule over you, the same group. And submit yourself and they watch for your soul. That's an elder there. That's not me. That's an elder. He's watching for your soul. And that's an elder. I'm speaking unto you the word of God. My job is to bring the elders in, but I got to bring them in according to the faith, according to the rules that God has laid down. That just can't bring them in. You got to bring them in according to what God has said to do. That's my responsibility. But love allows us to obey who God has put in leadership. Let's go back to Hebrews. I got to get it closed here. I think we've said enough about that. He said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, we should never forget, you all, no matter how good your leaders are, Christ will always be the head of all of us. That's why Brother Starr and I have no business trying to get our head too big, because we're not the head of the church. And we can't tell y'all to do nothing, make you do nothing. It's up to a person to obey God for themselves. Here's the thing we have to understand. I talk about Brother Stroud now because we are your ministers. So we are in that verse 7. And God gives you a responsibility to obey. He said, obey. Remember and obey. It's two things he the word. So we are your leaders. We guide you. And we are to guide according to the scripture. That's what Paul told Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. That's how you do it. Here's how you do it. Be instant in season when they don't like what you're saying. Like some probably don't like what I said today. When they like it, in season, they okay, that's a good sermon, Brother Brooks. Out of season, when they ain't going to say it's a good sermon, they're going to say, I don't agree with him on that. Well, that's out of season. But I got to reprove, then I got to rebuke, then I got to exhort. All along seven, I tried to exhort you at the beginning. I've done a lot of exhortation on this call. I've done some rebuking on this call. I've done some reproving on this call. I've demonstrated all of it on this call. I put you in a position where you have to obey me on this call, according to the scripture. But it applies to me, too. So, members, brother love should dictate your response to your leaders, but your salvation is in the care of Jesus. The salvation is in Jesus' care for all of us, no matter how good. Christ will always be head. Christ will always be supreme. Christ will always be our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Hebrew writer, as I close, said, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And he's talking to these Hebrew Christians, talking about the cure. There's going to be some strange stuff being taught. But don't you let that strange stuff get you away from what God has said. And that's what some people do. That's why you see a lot of stuff going on in Churches of Christ congregations now that you just can't find no Bible for. They're even getting so liberal now. They're saying, well, that's not what the Bible means. We don't supposed to say things like speak what the Bible speaks. That's tradition. No, it's still okay to speak what the Bible speaks. Be silent when the Bible's out. So we're not going to go liberal in our views and because, well, you know, that's the way we've done it all the years. That don't make it right. Well, maybe not. But the Bible will always be, in your view maybe, but the Bible will always be right. It's going to always be right. But there are going to be some strange doctrines where it is not a good thing. The Hebrew writer said that the heart be stabbed with grace. For it is a good thing that the heart be stabbed with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied. So these people, some of these people, like me, they were caring about these strange doctrines, what was going on with them, have not profit or benefit them. He said, we have an altar where they have no right to eat, which served the tabernacle. People who follow strange doctrine have no right to eat at the altar. We have, as members of the Church of Christ, these people are still practicing old rules where they were altered. Was at an altar sacrificing animals. And Hebrew writer said, that's a strange doctrine. You don't sacrifice no animals. He don't talk about sacrifice this evening. Well, we should be sacrificed, but it's not animals. And so the Hebrew writer was having to straighten them out because some of them were following that old doctrine. And the way they were worshiping was not according to God's will. Some of them had no right to eat because they was of a certain sect or something like that. But here's the thing for us. We're going to stay with New Testament doctrine at Holland Heights. We're not going to be liberal. We're not going to go conservatives. Neither one of those work out. You can be too conservative. You can't eat in the building. That's too conservative. I mean, that means if we worship under the tree, we can no longer eat under the tree. I never believe stuff like that. Think about it. Use some practical common sense. And the liberals want anything to go into church. We're going to bebop, pray, dance, do whatever we want to do. That's liberalism. If we find it in the scripture, we can do it. If we don't find the scripture, we're not doing it. So let me close this lesson. He went on talking about them, and it doesn't really apply to us. He said, for the body of those beasts, talking about the animal they were killing, whose blood he brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin or burn without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffering without the gate. Let's go therefore unto him without the count, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How? Continually. That is what? Here comes the sacrifice. We don't serve an animal, the fruits of our lips. This is why we sing and worship. This is why we give thanks to God with our mouth. We sacrifice, not with our hands, by killing an animal. We sacrifice. Our sacrifice of praise to God is not clapping and jumping and hollering. It's what you say in your mouth, from your mouth, what comes from your mouth. That's why we sing in Churches of Christ, a cappella. We speak in ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's a sacrifice of praise. It's the fruit of our lips that God hears. So we'll talk more about that this evening, this afternoon. Brother Love, I hope you enjoyed it. I know it was some tough stuff I said there, but here's the thing about this. At the end of the day, brothers, if you expect to hear a sermon, and there's always going to be one that you're going to agree with, you come to the church for the wrong reason. You come to hear the sermon, hear the word of God, to identify things that could cause you to lose your soul. If you always feel good, kind of like Joel Osteen trying to help people do. Just make them feel good. No, we don't like a feel-good sermon. Don't save you. It's the sermons that identify what it is to be a man, what it is to be a wife, what it is to be a husband in outside of God, what it is to be a brother, sister in the church, who to love, who not to love, how to stop hating, stop gossiping, stop lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. Those are the things that save our soul. Those are the things that we don't like We don't want to, that hurts because it's painful because it's you. But here's the thing. I'm closing. I'm stopping. Here's the thing. We all ought to be so thankful that we don't have to be perfect. That God so loved us that while we were yet sinners, his son would die on the cross of Calvary. That God gave his son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. No, but the world through him might be saved. That's what it says. That's why he died. And what he did, he shed his blood that was precious. That blood is the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And Jesus had to go through this cruel treatment and humiliation, being beaten and mocked and spit upon, and they hung him between the two thieves. They executed him with nails in his hands and in his feet. This is the story we tell every week. It's called the gospel, the good news. And there was power in that blood. There was power in the blood because that blood that he shed, the soldier pierced him in the side. The Bible says, came out blood and water. The very thing that'll save your soul is blood and water mixture. And Jesus said, and from Jesus Christ, the true witness, the first to come back from the dead, the prince of the kingdom, to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, Revelation 1:5. That's what it'll do. There's power in that blood. It'll wash your sins away. You know, all the things I talk about today, the good thing about being a Christian is you can ask God to forgive because the blood was shed, so you can be forgiven. You can be a better husband, better wife, better man. You can leave homosexuality. You can start that, making sure your conversation is pure and not covetousness. You can love anyone. You can ask for forgiveness for not to. And thank God for the blood. There's power in the blood. And then if you want to call today, you say, "Brother, I want to be a member of a church that with a preacher that preaches straight from the book like you." It's not me that you want. You want the truth. That's what you want. Jesus said in John 4:23, "The hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such." Verse 4:24, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, watch this now, must worship him. How? In spirit, that's their attitude, and you must be taught the truth, and that's what I've done this morning. Now, do you believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on that cross? Do you believe they took him down off that cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb? Do you believe that that blood has power in it? Do you believe he resurrected on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, early on Sunday morning? He got up with all power in his hand, and he said, "Go in the world as a preacher of the gospel. He told me to tell you the good news that he died for you." Do you believe that with all of your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Be willing to confess Jesus before me and say it with your mouth. Don't just go ahead and say, "I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God," and say, "I ain't ashamed to see it." That's what he's looking for. Somebody ain't ashamed to see it. And then after that, you got to be baptized. I just give you the step to salvation. You hear it, number one. Number two, you believe it. Number three, you repent. Say, "I'm ready to change my life." Number four, be willing to make a confession before men. Say, "I'm not ashamed to say I believe the Son Jesus, the Son of God." Number five, get baptized as soon as possible. Immediately. As soon as you get to the water, tell them to take you down. And under that water, believe you step in that blood in that water. When you step in that water, you're going to see water and blood. You ain't going to see it with your eyes. And you don't see no blood. You got to step in there by faith, believing that blood is in there. That power is in that blood to wash your sins away. And then the Lord would add you to his only church he purchased with his blood, Acts 20:28. That same blood purchased the church. What church is? You know who it belongs to? Christ. It's called the Church of Christ. That's the only one in the book, Romans 16:16. Jesus said in Mark 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." It belongs to him. It don't belong to me. It belongs to him. And she wears his name. She is his wife. It's called the Church of Christ. And if you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, go ahead and hit 5-star on your phone. Brother Smith, and to sing the song. There's power in the blood. To the visitors on the call, if you want to be saved, you heard a salvation message this morning. You can just hit that 5-star and say, "I want to be baptized." And we will get you no matter where you are listening to us across this nation. We'll make sure we find somebody to put you in the water today. If you're a member of the church and you want to say thank you, we should say thank you more to the Lord for bringing you through. Or thank you for the brothers and sisters in our life. Or thank you for the people who've loved me. It's okay to do that. You don't have to always ask God for something. But if you need to ask for prayer or you need to repent of a sin, not confess a sin, you got to repent in your mind. If you need to confess a sin, you can do that. Thank you.